It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It is the Take Command podcast. I will resist the urge, Logan Paulson, as I am Craig Hoffman, to say, oh, we are now 13 seconds in and we have made it longer than the game went really well the other night for the Commanders. Oh, man, that was rough. The opening kickoff return for a touchdown. It didn't get much better from there, and all snarkiness and such aside, obviously. There's a lot to chew on, I think, from this game. So that's what we're going to do. It's mostly a game review. Logan has been at practice the last couple days as well since the game. So we will be able to weave in maybe a couple of things that have happened. And also, we are recording this just before 11 a.m. on Monday. So we are about an hour after the roster announcements. The roster moves were announced, including Dominique Hampton being let go. So we can touch on all of that as we go, Logan. But like, you're on the sideline doing the radio call the other night, and you know, it starts like it starts with a Travion Henderson touchdown. Like, what are you doing on the sideline besides going, oh no?
Well, it's interesting because, like, you know, I really get excited for the preseason because it's great opportunities for guys.
Yeah.
It's guys like making moves and you know, making plays and making careers, really. And so prior to kickoff, I'm like, this is it. Who's going to make the first tackle? Who's going to do this stuff for this team? And obviously, it doesn't go the way you want. And I think providing context on some of that stuff is important. You know, like,
for sure.
I think on the radio broadcast, that was a big part of like Fletch, my Bram, our approach to that play. And I think it's just important to remember you got a lot of young guys out there, you know, like, and watching the all 22 back. I don't usually watch special teams, but obviously, I watched all the special teams plays. You know, you realize that there's some guys that haven't covered a lot of kicks in the NFL. It's a new format. You know, they haven't really done it like this. And so getting people in the right positions, getting the right feel, getting that kind of interplay of positions is going to be an important part of their learning process. And so the coach in me says, like, yeah, that's terrible. But I do think there's a lot of good teaching when you buzz through the tape. And it's not for lack of effort in most cases. It's for lack of just general football understanding. And that's and that's part of the deal when you're playing a lot of young guys.
No, for sure. And I feel really bad for some of those guys out there because like this is an opportunity. And like, you know, for Dom Hampton, like this was a huge opportunity for him and it obviously went as badly as it could and the results were as bad as it could, but like that's real life. Now, will a guy who's a fifth round pick last year probably get picked up somewhere else? And, you know, will he at the very least have a chance to be on a practice squad this year? Probably, but that's like very different than, and it's gotta be jarring compared to where his head was probably on Friday, like going into the game. He's like, this is my chance to like solidify myself as a guy who's trying to fight for snaps during the regular season on this team and trying to carve out a role for myself. And then all of a sudden you're gone. And it's just, it's, I actually talked about this on the radio show on Friday. I was like, there are some guys that for them tonight, the reality is this could be their last NFL game. And that is a really harsh reality of the NFL, of pro sports. And like, I don't want to be flippant about that, but also, you know, or say, and also we have to take a look at, you know, what this means for the team moving forward. And my question would be like, does it mean anything? I'm sure this hits you extra hard as a guy who played in a ton of preseason games and always felt like you were on the edge of the roster. And like, there's a very human, like individual player side to this.
Sure.
But when you, if you take that, try as best you can to take that hat off for a second and put your analyst hat on more. So I guess your coach hat, like, does this, the sloppiness, the poor play and ultimately the final score mean anything for this team moving forward, considering 30 guys that are going to be on the team in 2 weeks didn't even suit up?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a canary in a coal mine. And what I mean by that is I don't think this is a big deal. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think when you have 30 guys that have played a lot of NFL football not playing in this game, you're going to have results that look like this. But I think as a coach and as a former player, right, when you're in these situations and you have a game like that, you kind of got to say, like, what is my process like? Am I actually getting ready to play football games? And as a coach, am I getting these young guys ready to play football games? And is there something in practice that we're not emphasizing? We're not giving these guys enough opportunities. That's the other thing, man. Like, you know, when I think back to my rookie year, my second year, my third year, I was the third or fourth guy. And so you're only getting 5 reps in a practice. And so a lot of these guys come from environments where they're playing a lot in college. They get a lot of reps. They are they are kind of forced to know the information. But when you're a backup in the NFL, man, you got to prepare in a certain way. And so I do think, you know, when people say, oh, like we, you know, for example, like they want to bring in a veteran linebacker, for example, it's not because they think the veteran linebacker is a better athlete or going to have a larger impact. It's just a good model in the room of like what it means to be a three. Because like, you know, you look at Bobby Wagner, he started his whole career. Frankie Louvu was started for the majority of his career. And so now having someone in the back of the room that says, hey man, like, no one's going to hold your hand to this point. Like, you have to know how to do these different things, I think is really what I take out of it. So is there a little bit of a, you know, like a developmental, like, are we giving these guys enough of this kind of information? Maybe. But does it mean anything for week one? No, not really. Does it mean stuff, like you said, for the interpersonal relationships and who's going to make the roster? Absolutely. But in terms of wins, losses, I don't really think this is that significant, especially because, like, we'll talk about this more in more detail in a second. The Patriots handled this game in a certain way. And yes, the Commanders handled it in a completely different way. And I think that also led to some of the issues specifically on defense.
Yeah, I think that when you have another team play their starters, which I was like, wait, what's Drake made? Like, they just had joint practice. And I didn't realize the Patriots were going to, maybe that's on me. I just didn't follow enough Patriots media during the week outside of like their observations of what happened in the joint practice for the Commanders. But I wasn't paying attention to like, hey, Vrabes, who's going to play on Friday?
Right.
It's starters versus like third stringers. And I think there's a great point that John Keim made on his show, which is, if you have like one, this doesn't mean all these guys are bad football players, right? If you have one or two of these guys mixed in with starters, then like they can be a part of the system. And maybe right, they're the weakest link, but you can game plan around that. You're not even game planning. You have other guys that can cover. But because everyone is overexposed, because it's all second and third stringers, then with a guy that should be the worst, in air quotes, guy on the field becomes like the best guy on the field. And they're facing a real starting offense. I think outside of Stephon Diggs, basically everybody played for New England.
And Morgan Moses, the right tackle. Yeah, but you know, it's their swing player. He's playing too. Like he'll play minutes for them this year, significant minutes. So
it's like 9.5 starters versus zero. Yeah. And that went about how, or I guess one, Trey Amos is out there. Newton's a rotation player. But like that's how that's gonna go. Yeah. But I think the thing that Quinn was so upset by that is legit, and in some ways might be a blessing in disguise for a wake-up call, was like, hey guys, just because we were good last year and now you're wearing the same jersey doesn't mean you get to show up and win football games. Like, there's a way to, I'm gonna borrow Dan's language here, there's a way we have to get down if we want the results that we want, and very clearly they did not do that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is like they actually kind of like game planned this team a little bit. You know, like there was a couple runs like from the Baltimore game last year, you know, that kind of short motion out of 22 personnel to crack, then the receiver cracks the next guy, you pull the play side guard and the fullback to the perimeter. They ran that a bunch. And I think the other thing, so people are like, okay, well, they should know.
Is that the ones they got the touchdown on down in the red zone like three times? And it's
got a touchdown.
Yeah, this play clearly works.
They got a touchdown. Trey Hendrickson had two explosive runs on it, right? They were both to the left. And so people say, well, why didn't they get it fixed? Well, the problem is like you have, you know, for example, you have on the first play, you have your first defensive end. I forget who it was, but whoever Cleveland. It is. And then you have, you know, Kane Madrano as linebacker and Tyler Owens as your safety. Then you get all the way to the third quarter when they score that touchdown, and all of a sudden it's Daniels is the safety, Arnold is the linebacker, Jones is the defensive end. And so like those guys didn't get that rep, and some of the stuff that happens over the course of a normal game, you say, oh, I've seen this motion, I've seen right. this play, I've seen this blocking surface. These guys are now seeing it for the first time, and I think that's another element that is upon review, I think that group deserves a little bit of empathy. Like even the draw that they ran, like, you know, the Commanders, we don't run a lot of draws in practice. We don't run a lot of crack pull stuff out of 22 personnel. That changes your fits a little bit. So if it's something you're not super exposed to, you're going to have a hard time fitting some of those runs, and you're going to get explosive plays. And so that's another element of the preseason that I think it's just important to acknowledge, is just like, hey, they took it a little bit more seriously. Not that we didn't take it seriously. I hate that language. Like they prepped it more. Like we were out there, we ran man coverage. We ran a little bit of cover two. That's our base defense. We didn't coach, hey, this is how we play our man coverage versus this crack look. We didn't coach this is how we fit this run versus cover two. Even some of their backfield action stuff was a little bit novel. And you could tell like Kay Medrano is a great example. Like, I think he, in general, he had a energetic, physical game. You saw the upside of what he is. But you see a young player, right? You see a duo action where the back takes counter steps. He mirrors the back, runs right into the double team. Like, that's something he's seen in college. That's something he's going to do. I'm pretty confident they didn't talk him through, hey, if you get counter steps by the back on duo this week, like, this is how we're going to fit it. That's just not how you prep these games, having played in a lot of them, right? It's just not what you do. So I think just understanding the general context of why this looks the way it did defensively is important. And again, remembering that people are changing, people are getting reps. This is the first time some of these guys have gotten those looks in practice or whatever. And that's why you do these joint practices. That's why you do these preseason games. So just another kind of add-on to what you're talking about there.
Right. And to just, you know, put a period and to underline the point here, like, during the regular season, you will do all that stuff. It's like, they like to do this, so we are going to prepare for it. And when you see it, you respond by this thing, not the thing that we practiced in the summer when we didn't, this little wrinkle wasn't in there. Like, you anticipate the wrinkle, and that allows you to do what you need to do. Like, so much of football, like, we talk about it all the time. So much of football happens pre-snap. Like, you got to understand what's coming at you. And then you go from there. All right. So with that said, we're going to go position by position, kind of like we did in the preview through the review. And so everyone will get a little bit of attention. But special teams wise, anything else you want to add on? Because obviously it was a tremendously poor results performance. Anything else on the special teams front before we get to the offense and defense of it all?
Yeah, I think if you just want like a kind of a quick breakdown of the touchdown, basically you get Kane, and I forget the other person that he's working with, but you know, the fives in this system, the L and R fives, so the kind of interior guys on the kickoff coverage, so the guys right near the kicker have a little bit of flexibility. The four tends to be a penetrator, and then the five kind of plays off. So think about your Revo.
Just in case anyone didn't pick this up, five is the guy closest to the kicker. There's 11 guys on the field. The kicker is like zero. And then you have 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to the sidelines.
All the way out. And so the four is the guy that's going to penetrate the kickoff. So think about your Tyler Owens has kind of done that for us, right? He's going to penetrate. And then your Revo is going to kind of play off Tyler Owens and fit the run. And so watching it, like in this game, Kay Medrano is the five, and the penetrator kind of punches up the field. And Revo, if he's in the game, would do a great job of saying, oh, he's getting washed down. I'm just going to play over top of this, and he'd be in perfect position to make the tackle. But you get a young player who tries to play over the top. You get two guys in the gap, and then obviously people get manned up on the outside, which happens on kickoff return, and they hit it up for a touchdown. And again, they are playing their starting kickoff return team. And people forget, like, oh, it's special teams. They're all backups. No, like, imagine if we had Revo in on this play. Imagine if we had T.O. in on this play. It's going to feel a little different from an energy, physicality. Nick Ballore, if he's in the game, like, what does that look like? So just to, again, another moment where you're getting guys, and that's where I say this is good learning. Because now I can go to Kane and be like, hey, you know, we talked about this in practice this week. This is how it's going to feel if it plays like this.
Right.
And so those reps are invaluable. And I think it's just guys getting more reps, more familiar, and young guys make young mistakes, and I've been that guy before. I've made those mistakes, and hopefully they'll have an opportunity to learn from them.
For sure. And I also think Yankoff was held in the hole, which doesn't help.
Yeah, that did happen also. he was the R3, right? Yeah. So
yeah, and he's trying to get there and make the tackle, and you just see the jersey go rump, and it's like, hey, it seems like an important one. Can we maybe thoroughly? By the way, I will say I will not be too just. Commanders telecast. Can we replace, I'm not saying you can't take Clark Construction's money, but you can't have a yellow logo in the place where the flag is on the graphic. That's something you were probably not aware of.
So it's funny. I was driving to the airport with my boss who kind of does graphics. Uh-huh. He goes, yeah, I didn't even think about that. So we're fixing that for the next one. Like they've already.
Excellent. I'm now glad that I brought it up.
Yeah.
I'm now glad that I brought it up. Yeah. Cause every play I was like, is there a flag? Nope. That's just the Clark logo. There's a flag. Yeah. Nope. That's a Clark logo. Okay. We're here to report first.
They take feedback too. They make it happen. They'll make it better.
Look at those Commanders. They're just a responsive bunch. All right, let's get into, we'll start with the offense, quarterbacks next on Take.